So this is my very first conference presentation, so please excuse any rawness of my anxiety, but we'll get through this. I am Melissa Levon, and we are talking about veterans with schizophrenia and how they fare in the veterans appeals courts versus other court systems. And I like to point out that these hamster wheels are basically how the attorneys of the veterans who go to veterans appeals courts refer to that court system. It's just a hamster wheel. You keep going, not really getting anywhere. And that 45% up there is the number of cases that get remanded on a yearly basis. So to continue, neither myself or Helen Levon have any financial relationships to disclose. So the purpose of this study was to, like I said, discern how veterans with schizophrenia fare in veterans courts of appeals versus how they fare in non-veteran specific courts. The Veterans Court of Appeals is a special federal court that has jurisdiction over the Veteran Board of Appeals. The Board of Veteran Appeals, they make administrative decisions regarding any disputes in their in the veterans' claims for benefits or survivor benefits and things like that. And the methodological approach that we used in the study is empirical legal scholarship, where we use the court cases as a unit analysis rather than a single organization, a single VA, a service provider, a single site. So it allows us to look at a much broader range of data. So we used cases litigated between January 1st, 2013 and June 30th, January 1st, 2013 and June 30th, 2015. And we obtained these cases through a LexisNexis search. We searched for the term schizophrenia and veteran. So all the cases that contain both of these terms were drawn from that time period. And then we had a total of 267 cases, including 154 that were in those Veteran Court of Appeals. We coded for multiple data terms, including service-connected, physical and psychological disabilities, any comorbidities, medications, side effects, homelessness, substance abuse, many, many, many data things. And the intent was to illustrate how this methodology can be used to gain a better understanding of this particular set of veterans and all veterans in order to better serve them and reduce the amount of remands that happen in the courts. All right, so the nature of the veterans court. So as I already mentioned, the Board of Appeals is located in DC, and they issue decisions on any appeals that the veterans have after they've made their initial claims to their local VAs. So some interesting facts about our Board of Appeals currently. So this is from the annual report from the Board of Appeals last year. There are a total of 66,778 pending cases. And the average cost to hear one of these cases is about $1,607. What's of particular note is that the average length of time between when a veteran first submits an appeal to a final decision being made is about 1,038 days. So that's almost 3 years. So the staff on the Board of Veteran Appeals, they handle about 221 decisions per workday, and that's a lot. And then, as I already mentioned, about 45% of these decisions are remanded for reconsideration, just adding to the amount of time that a veteran has to wait to receive a decision regarding these benefits. So a high priority goal for the Board of Veteran Appeals is to reduce the amount of remands so you can shorten the amount of time that it takes. So this is what the process looks like. All the way on the left, you can see that it starts with a claim to the local VA. And then if the veteran wants to appeal, then they go to the Board of Appeals. And then as you get over here, there's the appeals decision, and then there's a possibility for remand in this section, or it can go on to the courts, and then there's also a possibility for remand from here. Okay. So what we're working to do is, if we're trying to say that if staff had a better understanding of what the veterans' needs were, then maybe we could handle these cases more effectively and better serve the veterans, reducing the amount of time that they have to spend in the court process. And the example that we're using is we're considering veterans with schizophrenia, but this can apply to any other subset of, or the larger set of veterans. So after, I will review what schizophrenia is briefly, but I'm sure we all have a general idea of what it is. I will describe what empirical legal scholarship is and how it can be used to better understand the veterans' cases and hopefully make recommendations to reduce the amount of remands. Okay. So schizophrenia is a chronic disorder. It affects thoughts and behaviors. It can be quite terrifying for somebody with schizophrenia. People with schizophrenia can be difficult to understand when they talk, which can affect how they represent themselves in these courts. Okay. So it affects approximately 1% of the population. The causes we still are unsure about. There's many debates about what are possible causes of schizophrenia, but at this point we just don't really know. I've already briefly discussed the symptoms. Sometimes it can be difficult to diagnose. You don't really know what's going on because if they don't have the positive symptoms like the hallucinations, delusions, then it's much more difficult to see this in people. It affects cognitive functioning, and the negative symptoms could be catatonia or just flat affect, just another difficult to engage kind of patient. So empirical legal scholarship, as I've mentioned, it is, we use the litigated case as a unit of analysis, and once we drew those cases out of LexisNexis, we used in vivo to identify key terms that we wanted to see if they played an important role in these cases. So I already mentioned we used the dates between January 1st, 2013 and June 30th, 2015. The initial number of cases was 307, but we had to eliminate some, so what we, the final number was 267 that we examined. So the way we determined which cases that we would include was that we wanted to have cases that involved veterans with a diagnosis of schizophrenia or a possible diagnosis of schizophrenia that have received care at a VA facility at some point. We excluded cases if the court case was actually about a relative of a veteran or about a case that was about maybe a criminal case where a veteran committed a crime against somebody else with schizophrenia, but the person, the veteran, didn't have schizophrenia. There's vaccination issues involved, attorney's fees. We also excluded cases with deceased veterans of schizophrenia and employees of the VA, because a lot of these cases, they all had the term veteran and schizophrenia, but they weren't exactly what we were looking for with the veterans with schizophrenia who had a possible diagnosis, who received care at VA. Okay, so now on to the data. So the this is describes the distribution of cases that we were able to pull out. So you can see a majority of these cases were in the veterans courts. And then, so here's our percentage of remand versus not remand cases. It's pretty similar. 36% of the cases from our data set were remanded. So that's less than what the annual report was saying, but it's still pretty high, and it's still going to lengthen the amount of time that the veterans have to wait. So then we also looked at the number of cases where the finding was for the veteran versus not the finding for the non-veteran, whatever the veteran was going against, whether it be the VA or other organizations. It's the number of cases, but it represents 38% of the cases we're finding for the veteran. So we looked for these variables. The interesting things to note is that a lot of times, the one that I really want to point out is this one, compensation, where there's a large difference between the finding for the non-veteran versus the finding for the veteran. So in compensation cases, it's more likely that the veteran will not prevail. And then the other one is the Social Security cases. It's also very similar. Relating to substance abuse, we can see that if substance abuse is involved, that the cases are going to be more likely to be remanded than not remanded. But if alcohol abuse, not remanded versus remanded, but if alcohol abuse is involved, then the case is more likely to be remanded. Legal characteristics. The interesting thing here is the pro se, which means that the veteran represented him or herself in the case. And when we see that when they are representing themselves, that the finding is for the non-veteran, whoever the veteran is facing in court. So that is interesting to note. We also looked at other case characteristics, but I'm more interested in the other stuff. So some of the characteristics, the comorbidities that we looked at were anxiety, which is here, depression here, and paranoid is one of the features that could be of the schizophrenia. And we can see that if these are involved, it's more likely that the veteran is not going to be prevailing in the court. And I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to move on to the implications. I have a very little amount of time. So we are using this methodology to better understand the veterans based on their medical conditions. Well, the people with schizophrenia is only a small subset. Using in vivo and empirical legal scholarship can help us better understand these. So some recommendations is to reduce the pro se, like I mentioned. So we want to recommend using in vivo and empirical legal scholarship. Just as I already said, we're able to look at a broader range rather than looking at specific sites. So recommendations to the VA. They're seeing a lot of cases per day, so finding ways to reduce the number of cases could reduce possible errors in the decisions, and that could reduce the number of remands. But in all fairness, not all of these are, and the board has control, not all the decisions the board has control over. So the VA has made some initiatives in reducing the amount of time, including more training for the internal interdepartmental flexible, the telecommunicating that we are starting to hear about, just better training to better identify what the needs are for the veterans. Engaging employees, the use of, and that's it. I don't want to run over time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Melissa. You did great.